Well, it's good to be together with you this morning. I was trying to figure out what exactly I have done to Joe and to Caleb that they would try to poison me with raisins. I don't know what I did. Don't know how I offended them, but I'll try to sort that out a little bit later. I would say this, putting raisins in baked beans, I don't know if it's a sin, but it's got to be sin adjacent, right? It's got to be somewhere in there. So please don't do that when you bring your baked beans today. We are wrapping up our series here in Psalms today, in Psalm 20, and I'm really excited about this psalm. But before we get into it, I want to tell you a little bit about where we're headed next. Next week, we are starting a brand new series. It's going to be a five-week series, and the title of the series is called Seeing Each Other Through God's Eyes. Seeing Each Other Through God's Eyes. We're going to be building a theology of disability. What does God's word have to teach us about physical and cognitive disabilities? And we're going to be answering questions like, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Have you ever considered that? I mean, the Bible teaches that we are made in the image of God. Well, how does that play out in your everyday life? What does it mean in practical terms to be made in the image of God? We're going to talk about what Jesus has to say, or how does Jesus view those who are broken, those who have weaknesses? Is there purpose in our weaknesses? We all have some weakness, even if you don't have a physical or cognitive disability. We all have some type of weakness. We all deal with brokenness, the brokenness of sin. And how does that play out in our lives? How does God intend to use perhaps those weaknesses in our lives? How about this one? What about identity, who we are? Should we be defined by weakness? Should we be defined by imperfection and disability? Now, here's how that can play out in a very practical way. If I were to ask you, will we, if you have some type of weakness, disability, will we retain those in heaven? When we get to heaven, will we still have our disabilities? I think a lot of us are like, well, of course not. But you need to understand that there are people who believe that we will. There are people who write books and they try to make this argument saying that your disability is what makes you unique. It's what makes you special. And because of that, it's connected to your identity. Therefore, when we get to heaven, why would you lose that? Because it's who you are. It's who God has made you. And that's the argument that's made. So we'll wrestle with that question throughout the series. Now, this series that we're going to be doing, it's part of my doctoral dissertation, and I'm going to need your help. Like, I've been working on the project itself, doing the writing, but this part is part of the research part. And so I'm going to be doing these five series, which is part of the dissertation, but the research, you get to help me with. I'm going to ask you to help me with it. So I have a survey. It's, I think, 11, 12 questions. It's not long, but I have a survey that I'd like you to help me with. If you are 18, you have to be at least 18. If you come here on a regular basis, there's a couple ways that you can help participate in this survey. You can get on your phone. Please don't do it while I'm preaching. That'd be weird and rude. But sometime today, if you get on your phone, go to the website, and there's a button there that says, you know, you just click it. It'll take you right to the survey. It won't take you super long. If you go to the back of the room here, there are QR codes on the offering boxes. If you point your phone camera at those QR codes, the link to the survey will come up. And if you're like, I don't know how to do anything digital, you don't know how to do those things, it's okay. If you go to Grace Central, there is a paper version that looks like this. Paper version of the survey, it has instructions, and then the survey itself, it's like 12 questions. It won't take you super long, but it'll be super helpful. And the way it's going to work is this. I'd like to be able to measure, as a church, our understanding of what does God's word have to say about these issues. Do we have an understanding of that? What are our attitudes towards those who have disabilities as a church? We want to try to measure that before the series. Then we're going to preach the series. We're going to learn together. We're going to build a theology of disability. And then we're going to take a very similar survey at the end of the 5 weeks. And we'll just try to measure, did we learn anything together? Did we grow in our understanding of this topic? So that's the plan. I really would appreciate your help. It would be great for the project, if we had lots of participation. If three of you do this, I'm going to look bad. I'll be sad. I'll cry. I'll eat raisins. It'll be awful. So it would be great if you would help us out. Okay, so that's where we're headed next week. Today we're finishing up the series in Psalm 20. Go ahead and grab your Bible. Psalm 20 is where we're going to be at today. You know, I got a load of firewood this week, and just to be honest with you, it's not my favorite end of summer activity. It needs to be done. I don't super enjoy it, but the best time to prepare for cold temperatures, the best time to prepare for a winter where the snow may dump a foot, where the storm may dump a foot of snow on the ground, the best time to do that's now, not in the middle of the storm, not after the temperatures have dropped. And Psalm 20 is a psalm about preparing for storms in life. That's what it's about. So let me read it to you. Psalm 20, Psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God and God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed, and he will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots, some boast in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. Last summer, over the 4th of July, there was this terrible storm. Now, we had a terrible storm last night, but last summer, there was just this awful storm down in Texas. And the storm was so bad that the Guadalupe River rose 26 feet in under an hour. And at Camp Mystic in Texas, there were 25 girls, most of whom were 8 years old, that were swept away and died. It was an absolute horrific tragedy. A year later, here we are a year later, and there's been investigations done and reports made, and one of the reports that I read about the investigation has concluded this, that the camp did not have adequate emergency plans in place. They failed to respond quickly to the warnings, the flood warnings that were being issued. They did not have a plan. If you look at the report, in simple terms, it says they were not prepared. They were not prepared for that storm. And what happened at Camp Mystic is a terrible reminder that the best time to prepare for a storm is before it begins. Psalm 20, the big idea, the theme of Psalm 20, I think is a much more positive reminder of this same universal truth. See, Israel was preparing for a battle against an enemy that was stronger, larger, had greater firepower than they did. There was this storm coming, and they knew it. But they didn't wait for the first raindrop to hit the ground. They didn't wait for the first arrow to be shot at them before they made preparations for hard times. The big idea in Psalm 20 is that the best time to prepare for a storm is before it begins. And this morning, what I'm going to hope to do is identify some of the storms that come into our lives. We want to identify some of those, but we also want to talk about how do we prepare for those storms? How do we best prepare for the storms before they begin? I want to start by taking a closer look at this storm that Israel was preparing for that's represented in this psalm, Psalm 20. Let me read to you the first five verses again. Go back there with me. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now, when we read those first five verses, we need to be able to answer the question, who is praying for these blessings and who are the blessings intended for? Because at first, when we first read them, it sounds like this may just be a prayer of blessing over the congregation, over God's people. Kind of like that popular song today, The Blessing. It's a beautiful song in poetic form, talking about God's blessing over his people. But verse 9 is a clarifying echo of verse 1. In verse 1, it says, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. And then in verse 9, O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call. So what's happening in these first five verses? It is a prayer of blessing from the congregation to God for the king. They are praying for the king as he prepares for battle. Now, the people are in a tight spot. They know it. They know a storm is coming their way. But they don't want to wait for the battle cry. They don't want to wait for the arrows to fly to start preparing for the storm they know is coming. Former Secretary of Defense, it's been years ago now, Donald Rumsfeld, some of you might remember that name, he has been given credit for this quote, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you wish you had. And his point is simple. The time to prepare for battle is before the battle begins, not after the bullets start flying. The people here are preparing for battle. How? They are praying for the king who is going to lead the army out into battle. They are asking God to bless the king with protection. They're asking that God would fight this fight on his behalf to provide victory in battle. And I want you to notice what the king's doing while the people are praying for him. Look at verse 3. According to verse 3, may he remember all your sacrifices, accept your burnt offerings. The king is in the temple, and he is offering sacrifices. He is seeking God's favor. He is praying that God would supply the victory. So the king is humbling himself before God and praying, asking for God's favor, asking for God's help, asking for wisdom and a good battle plan. And the people have gathered together to pray for the king, that those battle plans would succeed. Verse 5 is an expression of confidence in God that he's going to answer these prayers. I love verse 5. It's amazing. We will shout for joy when you are victorious. You hear the confidence. We're going to shout for joy, not if you come back in victory, but when you get back and experience the victory, when you come back into town, we're going to shout for joy. We're going to raise the banners high. We're going to have a parade. We're going to have a party when you come back. They fully expect the king to return in victory. And these phrases in verse 5, they are not phrases that paint a picture of a polite golf clap. Well done, king. Good job, king. That's not what this is happening here. That's not what they're doing. It's not a calm, unenthusiastic, arms folded, quiet reflection of gratitude. No, they are going to shout for joy. This is like what happens when your team wins the championship and the crowd goes nuts. That's what they're expecting. In verse 6, the voice of the psalm shifts from the people to the king. Verse 6, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand, a symbol of God's strength. The king here is expressing his confidence in God to supply this victory in battle against the enemy. I love that phrase. Now I know. There's such confidence. I know. Well, why is he so confident? Well, he believes that God is going to keep his covenant promises to Israel. It says here in the prescript that David's the one who wrote this psalm. God has made some covenant promises to him. And David believes that God is going to keep those promises. He's confident that God's power is stronger than the enemy's power. The voice then of the psalm shifts back to the congregation in verses 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but not us. No, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in God. The enemy trusts in their physical power, but we trust in God. They believe the enemy is going to be brought to their knees. That's what verse 8 says. They are brought to their knees and fall, but not us. We will rise up. We will stand firm. They are confident that God will supply the victory. And then in verse 9, the king rides out into battle. And I want you to notice what happens. What do the people do? So they've prepared for the storm. They've prepared spiritually for this battle that they know is coming. They're praying for success, God's help. They're praying for the king who's going to lead the army out into battle. The king now rides out into battle. And verse 9, O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call. Yes, they are confident that God will provide the victory, that God will answer their prayer. But as the king rides out into battle, they continue to pray. They don't stop praying. They believe victory is coming, but they're going to continue to pray that God will supply that victory until the victory is actually won. It's such a beautiful picture of this assurance in God that he's going to help them weather this storm that is coming. It's such a powerful reminder that the best time to prepare for a storm is before it even starts. I'm sure you've noticed this about storms. A storm typically has this calm moment before it starts. I noticed this even last night. Maybe you were outside on your deck or your porch, and the clouds were darkening in the distance, and you can feel the temperature changing. You can feel the pressure in the air changing, and there's this calm before the storm, and you can smell the rain in the air. You can smell it. It's refreshing. I love it. I love to stand out on our deck. We have a roof over our deck. I love to stand out there when a storm is coming. It's just so refreshing, that air as it changes. But then when the storm starts, it's not the place to be. Outside is not the place that you want to be. You need to get inside. You need to take shelter as the wind and the rain blows sideways. Maybe there's hail involved. Maybe there's, in some cases, flooding. We had flooding here in this area. Pastor Caleb mentioned that our basement took some water in. Sometimes floods come along, and sometimes those floods can be really destructive and dangerous, and like in Texas, sometimes people can die. And if we are not prepared for storms like that, you might get soaked. That's probably the minimum that could happen. But maybe you could get washed away or struck by lightning. If it's a winter storm, and you're driving out into a winter storm, and you get stuck in the snow, it's very possible that you get stuck and could freeze to death. It's not good if you're not prepared. And life is often like that. Life often has these moments, these seasons of calm before the next storm. It's not a matter of Is there going to be a storm that comes someday? Yeah, there's going to be a storm. And oftentimes, life has this cycle to it. We have seasons, moments of calm, and then the storm comes, and we get through that, and then there's calm before the next one. The best time to make sure that you are prepared for whatever that storm is that's coming is before it starts. For Israel, the next storm was this war against an enemy that they were preparing for. Okay, but what are some of the potential storms that we should prepare for in life? I want to start maybe on a large scale, and then we'll work our way down to something a little more personal, okay? I think an example of a large-scale crisis, and I won't speak for you, I'll speak for myself, that I was not prepared for was 2020. I was not prepared for that. I was not mentally prepared for that. I was not spiritually prepared for things like lockdowns and government overreach and abuse of power. I was not prepared. I about lost my mind over the rationing of toilet paper. I was ready to fight somebody. That poor girl at Sam's Club was not prepared for my attitude that day. That whole season of life, that storm, is something I didn't see coming, and I wasn't prepared. Well, now we've been through it. Hopefully we've learned some things. I know I've learned some things about my own heart, my own need to be spiritually prepared with integrity and all of that. One of the things I think we learned through that season is the importance of truly preparing for the next crisis in life. And we do that through prayer. We do that through discipleship. I don't know when the next national crisis, the next global crisis is going to come, but I absolutely believe that we cannot, should not wait for the first raindrop to hit the ground before we start preparing our hearts and our minds, before we start spiritually preparing ourselves. The seasons of calm in life that maybe you're in right now, some of you are in a storm right now, like life is upside down, life is really hard, and you can really relate to this idea of the storm, but a lot of us, we would say, no, life's good right now. This is the time. When we're in these seasons, when life is good, life is pretty calm, those are the seasons of life. It's easier to think. It's easier to prepare when life is calm, to make those preparations. So how do we do it? How do we best prepare for the next storm in life? Well, in Psalm 20, the king prepared himself through humble prayer. That's the first place to start. The king prepared himself through humble prayer. He humbled himself. He admitted to God that he was not strong enough to fight this battle on his own. That's why he's at the temple. That's why he's offering sacrifices. He's in a very worshipful, practical way saying, God, I can't go out and do this without you. I need your help. I need your favor. And he was leading his people by example through this humble confidence in God. He didn't just ride out into battle without asking God for help, without asking God for wisdom and a good battle plan. So one way that we can apply Psalm 20 to our lives is just to make sure that we have a consistent rhythm of prayer in our lives. And some of you do, but it may be that for some of you, prayer only happens when life gets sideways on you, when there's a crisis, when there's something that you need. That's the only time that you pray. And Psalm 20 is saying to us, no, prayer needs to be a consistent daily rhythm in our lives. Humbling ourselves before God, admitting to him that we need his help in our lives, that's going to build confidence in our faith. We need God to help build our integrity now when life is calm, so that when the stress rises, we are ready. I think another important challenge from Psalm 20, at least what I would say for me, for the other pastors, the elders, other leaders here at the church, that we need to make sure that we are intentional about spiritually preparing ourselves to lead with humility, to lead with confidence in God before the next storm comes. Because it's going to come. There's been storms. We've seen some God do some amazing things in our ministry. We talked about some of them this morning in our announcements. A third service, a special needs ministry that we're launching. We have baptism today. It's been incredible. We've just been in this season lately where every baptism that we have, there's just lots of people getting baptized, lives being changed. God's been really good, and it's been a good season of ministry. Now, there's been, for sure, challenges along the way that we've needed God's help with, and that's just not going to stop. There's not going to be a time when there's not going to be challenges, spiritual battles that are being fought. And so it's important for the leadership to make sure that we are humbling ourselves before God, that we are asking for wisdom and guidance and strength and integrity as we lead. And I hope that you see this example of God's people here in Psalm 20 as they are praying for the king, because they understood that if the king was successful in battle, then they're going to experience success too. And if the king fails in battle, well, they're going to suffer loss too. I know that some of you pray for our pastors. I know that because some of you pray with me. Some of you send me text. I prayed for you today. Some of you, when you see me, you let me know, hey, I prayed for you. I am praying for you. So I know that is happening. And I would just ask this. I would ask that would, as a church, that would just be a regular, that's the normal rhythm of our lives as a church, that you are praying for the leadership here at Grace Fellowship. We desperately need, we need God to guide us and direct us and protect us. You know, what could I pray for? Well, pray for, first of all, just pray for protection from the enemy. If the enemy can destroy our integrity, if the enemy can destroy our purity, if the enemy can rip apart our spiritual confidence, our ministry is going to suffer. Pray for humility and wisdom. You know, we talk about all these amazing things that are happening. Just pray that we lead well, that we wouldn't think that this is because of anything other, that the ministry experience that we've been having for the last several years is only due to God's blessing, that we would never forget that. Pray that God would protect our hearts and that he would help us lead through unseen challenges. Do you think that Satan is perfectly fine with what's been happening at Grace Fellowship for the last several years? I don't think he's okay with it. Do you think Satan wants to see our church reach more people with the transforming power of the gospel? I don't think he does. Do you think Satan is cool with us preparing to create this environment in our church family as a place of love and acceptance for families in our community who, quite frankly, have been overlooked by so many churches? I don't think Satan's cool with that at all. I think Satan would be absolutely thrilled to see families like that continue to feel isolated, continue to feel overlooked and unloved and unwanted. I think that would be what Satan would rejoice over. I don't think he's cool with us stepping into this space. And so I just say all that to say, there are going to continue to be spiritual battles that are going to come our way. We need to make sure that we are prepared spiritually, and we do that through prayer. And the best time to make sure that we are doing that, so that we pray and we stand up and we serve and we do all these things together as a family, the best time to do that is in the calm before the storm. So those are some ways that we can prepare for the storms of life that I would describe as on larger scale. But what about the storms that are more personal to you? What about the storms in life that hit your family, your heart? Now, those storms may still be big. The death of a loved one, a serious illness in your own life or someone that you care about. Maybe you are becoming a caregiver for someone in your life, and that's very stressful. There's very little respite to that, and it has turned your world upside down. Maybe it's a financial crisis. You fill in the blank, but it's hit you personally. If we wait until the storms of our lives hit us to start thinking about what do I need to be prepared for this storm, we are going to be at a disadvantage. We are likely going to suffer from that lack of preparation. I'll give you a couple examples. If I asked you right now to give me 3 passages of Scripture that you would turn to right now for hope during a time of crisis, could you do it? If I asked you right now, give me 3 passages of Scripture that clearly describe the character of God that would give you confidence in a time of crisis, could you do it? If I asked you to give me a list, just give me 3 examples of things that God is capable of, and you can prove it from Scripture, could you do it? I can promise you this. And I don't ask you that to shame you. I don't ask you that to make you feel bad. It's a reality check. If you can't, okay, then let's fix it. Because I promise you, it is not going to be easier in a storm to find those answers. It's not going to be easier. I know that from experience. When Angie and I thought that our daughter, Faith, was going to die, she was crashing. The staff came in. They pushed us out of the way. We were just kind of huddled up in the corner of the room, holding on to each other, praying for God's mercy. In that moment, there was no time to go memorize some scripture about the faithfulness of God. We either had it in that moment or we didn't. In that moment, there was no time for us to gather together with a small group at a Bible study and start learning about God's character, His faithfulness, His promises to us. We either had that truth in our hearts, in our minds in that moment, or we didn't. Psalm 20 is about a nation preparing for battle. But that same principle is true for every one of us in our everyday lives. We don't endure a storm in life with what we need. We endure it with what we have. So if you don't have God's word in your heart, locked and loaded, ready to face the next battle in life, if you don't already have a close relationship with God through Jesus, and if you're not nurturing that now in a season of calm when things are good and your head's not spinning, if you're not moving towards that relationship now through prayer on the good days, you are going to face that battle. You're going to face that storm from a position of unprepared weakness. Now, can God teach us things if we're unprepared? Absolutely. He can teach us important lessons if we're unprepared for the storms of life. He did that for me during that season of COVID. I learned a lot of things. I wish I'd have been better prepared. And God can certainly provide what we need in a time of crisis, even if we're not prepared. God still loves us. God's still full of mercy and grace. He's still going to show up with us in the storm. Absolutely, that's true. But if we already trust, if we go into that storm, we're prepared spiritually because we already trust in the faithfulness of God. We already trust in his loving kindness because we spent time with him every day. It's the normal rhythm of our lives. It's not just, oh, things are bad, I better run to God in prayer. No, the normal rhythm of our lives is time spent with God. We just know his heart. The normal rhythm of our lives is worship and fellowship with other people who are also committed to following Jesus, living a Jesus-centered life. If that's our normal, then when the abnormal comes, we're going to be much better prepared for that stormy season of life. The best time to prepare for a storm is before it begins. So here's my challenge for you this week. My challenge would be, first of all, make prayer a consistent and normal part of your day. If it's not already, if it is, continue that. If it's not, make it your normal. And I think the easiest way to get into that rhythm, the easiest way to start that habit is just from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night, every single thing that you notice that is good in your life, that is good in the day, that is a blessing from God, every single time you notice that and be intentional, look around, just offer God some gratitude. Thank you for this. This is amazing. Thank you, Lord. And just make that the rhythm of your day. Gratitude all day long. It's a great way to just be in conversation with a heart of gratitude for the blessings that God showers over your life. And along the way, when you have some time to just spend a little bit longer time in prayer, ask God to build your faith. Ask God to strengthen your character. One of the things that I pray for every Sunday, there's a number of things that I pray for Sunday mornings and throughout the week, but one of the things that I pray for every Sunday relates to character. I pray this, Lord, please fill my heart with an extra measure of grace for those who need a little more. I pray that every Sunday. Fill my heart with an extra measure of grace for those who need a little more. And I do that because over 25 years of experience, there's been Sundays. I know it's hard to imagine that someone could be rude and that would ever happen in church. But sometimes that happens. Someone says something and it just catches you off guard. And where did that come from? And then in my sinful self, in my natural self, my natural response to that is to hit you back, which is not right. It's not the right thing to do. And I know that from God's word. And so rather than trying to figure that out in the moment, see, this is why I pray before those kind of things happen. When you go to work, when you're at the next family function, if you're not spiritually prepared for the unexpected, those things can frustrate you, and then you start saying things you shouldn't say, right? And so you pray, God, I need a little extra grace for those who need a little more, right? That's just an example. Just an example of how we can spiritually prepare ourselves and our character before we get into the moment when we need it. Does that make sense? Pray for those who lead here. We talked about that. Here's another challenge. I would challenge you, get your Bible out this week. And if you don't already have a handful, you don't need to. I mean, if you can memorize 100 verses, that's amazing. You go for it. But you don't need to have 100 verses memorized, but you should have a handful. You should have a handful of verses locked and loaded, ready to go, memorized, that talk about the character of God, his love for you, his promises, how God relates to us in our problems in life, the gospel. There's just a handful of verses that you should spend some time, look them up, write them down, and just start working at memorizing them. Then when the day comes, when you need it, you're going to have it. In that moment of crisis, in that moment when the floor just drops out, when the storm comes popping up and you didn't expect it, you didn't see it coming, you're going to have it. You don't have to go looking for it. You have it. And I would just encourage you to do this. Make some time this week and write down all the good things that God has done in your life over the past 6 months. The king in Psalm 20 said, I know that God is capable of providing victory in battle. Write down all the things that you know God is capable of. Just write them all down. And I bet if you take some time and do that and you start looking at that list and it gets longer and it gets longer, you might just be surprised just how much confidence you have in God the next time you go through a hardship, a crisis, a storm. Like, look what God's done in the past. Look what God is capable of. He's got me covered. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for your loving kindness and grace. I know so many days I'm the one who needs some extra grace. I'm the one who needs a little extra measure of grace. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that you supply it. Lord, I pray that as we reflect over Psalm 20, that what we take with us today is just this simple truth that the best time to prepare for a storm is before it begins. It's not that you won't be faithful in the storm. You will. And it's not that you won't meet us in our unprepared crisis. You will. But, Lord, we want to go into these things in life with more confidence. And the things that we need, like your word, in our hearts, locked and loaded, ready to go, so that we have it when we need it. So help us to be diligent about that too, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.